Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Unpicking the Day with me, David Shombe. It's 22 minutes past the hour of 8. Let us thank Francine Ngela for standing in, especially looking at what we'll be able to do today, looking at the affairs of business, economics, and everything that affect our bread and butter. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM Namibia, and also to look at what are some of the things which are happening, looking at the progress in terms of the year, and also looking ahead to say when it comes to economic development, when it comes to tracking of progress, what are we expecting, especially after 2 months or after 1 month, when we'll be able to also to see the midterm budget review on the progress of Namibia, the expenditure, what are some of the sectors which are moving forward. But today we'll be in communication with economist that will be speaking on the recently released financial inclusion report of 2025, especially looking at the affairs of Namibia and also the use of finance. We're also looking at the income, but most importantly, now we have a guest, that is Cecilia Nekwaya Okafo. Cecilia Nekwaya Okafo will be joining us in 1 hour time. She has been central, or she has been a key player, especially looking at Bank of Namibia, and also when it comes to financial sector transformation strategy, one of the aspect of financial inclusion in Namibia. And she will be able to join us, particularly from the point of being, a gender focal point for Alliance for Financial Inclusion, especially one of the role, apart from her being working at the Bank of Namibia. She also has a role in that alliance that is dealing with finance. She'll be able to join us, particularly to ask a critical question to say, in terms of financial inclusion, when it comes to gender, how come women are ahead than men? Where are the men banking? And also, what are some of the critical factors that are involved into that aspect? On top of that, we'll also be able to communicate, or be able to be joined by Solomon Ipinge, especially to look at financial inclusion again. And he will be able to look at the relationship between financial inclusion and also upgrading of human beings in Namibia, to say when we are saying Namibia is doing very well in terms of financial inclusion. The data fragmentation representing that 86% of Namibians have access to finance. What does it mean? Does it mean that there is also an improvement in human lives, or there is nothing, especially when it comes to improvement in terms of human life? From there, we look at continental affairs and also affairs of, trade, and continue with the conversation. From there, we'll be able to engage each other at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 11 there.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
no matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with unpacking the day. We are looking at what is happening, particularly when it comes to economic affairs. As I indicated that the context of today is unpacking financial inclusion report of 2025. Before we go there, we look at current updates, especially regarding the continent of Africa. Then after 30 minutes, then we'll be able to be joined by our guest that will be able to look at where we are standing and also the relationship between financial inclusion and also human upliftment. And also to say, when you have access to bank account, does it mean your life is expanding or it make your life worse? And also to say, where are the financial institutions in Namibia taking us? And what is the relationship between the goals of financial institutions in Namibia and also the government of Namibia? Is access to financial institution or access to finance going to assist us at what rate? And also, what sector of the population have the means of production and what can we do moving forward. Looking at that aspect, we need to look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, especially when it comes to World Health Organizations and also the recent incidents, especially regarding Ebola. It is stated that, as we are speaking, World Health Organization stated that the death toll in DRC and Uganda has surpassed 1,000. That is DRC in Uganda. It's surpassed 1,000. That is how difficult it is, especially looking at World Health Organization. And also, when we are speaking now, it is indicated that when it comes to Ebola, 2,473 cases have been recorded, which is including 999 deaths that have been confirmed in Congo. But when you are comparing with what has been stated, particularly to Center of African Disease Control, especially Director General of Center of African Disease Control, indicated that it's going to be very difficult. And the history of fighting of diseases in Africa is going to be changed, especially looking at the difficult moment where Africa is now, and also to look at uncontrollable, tracing of Ebola. Because as we are speaking, there is an indication that there is a need for $1.4 billion to fight this deadly virus. And it has been stated that when it comes to governance and insecurity, those are some of the two factors that are making it very, very difficult, especially when it comes to fighting of Ebola. So looking at that aspect, it is stated that when it comes to emergency medical practitioners, either it's from WHO, either it's deployed by CDC, either it's deployed by countries that are affected by Ebola. They are finding it very difficult to trace and also to look at what can be done, especially to bring down this aspect of Ebola. But one of the things that has been stated, especially when it comes to continental emergency in this aspect, the aspect of funding, to say, where is the money coming from? The African countries, especially, they have been meeting for the past 2 days now in Ghana, looking at what can be done, especially to make sure that the continental health strategy that ending 2030, especially where Africa want to add AIDS by 2030, that continental strategy that also including fighting other diseases and also other challenges, particularly in the health sector, is realized. One of the aspects is how to fight and also how to mobilize internal funds. That is one of the discussion that I have indicated to say everybody must follow, especially when you look at extraordinary session on African Union, especially when it comes to fighting of diseases in Africa. Yeah, moving forward, we look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, especially when you look at the aspect of the Sahel region, regardless of changes in terms of the military leadership within the Sahel region. It is stated that Burkina Faso military leader warned challengers amid rumors of power struggle, to say the Sahel region continue to suffer, especially when it comes to internal power struggle. There is still power struggle within those who took power, especially when it comes to controlling of countries in the Sahel region. It's happening in Mali. It's happening in Burkina Faso. It's also happening in Niger. To say Ibrahim Traore is warning, or is giving warning, especially to the military when it comes to the power struggle. He indicated that there can't be two captains on one ship. The authority of Traore told community leaders in the northern part of Burkina Faso to say there can't be two captains. And amidst challenges of having a new leader in Burkina Faso. That is one of the things that when you look at African Center of Security Studies, indicating that peace and stability of Africa, the lack of peace and stability in Africa, is a main challenge for human development, and is a main challenge for Africa to reach where it wants to go, especially looking at what is happening in the Sahel region, to say Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. There was never stability upon taking over power through military coup. Then the question that we are asking ourselves is that what form of leadership can be a main driver of African development? Because when what happened in the past 5 years have happened, especially regarding taking over, government through military. Some of the African leaders, some of the African citizens were praising these leaders. They came up with decisions. They came up with sound policies when it's coming to dealing with their resources. But after all, did they deliver what every African want? Did they eradicate poverty in their country? Did they take control of the means of production? Is there peace and stability? Are they better off in terms of the way they do trading? Or is just the continuation of struggle? Then the question is that what is the best African leadership style with African characteristics? Or we are continue to be where we are with what we gain, with less contribution to the philosophy of leadership that we are using, and also to look at if what we have is really benefiting the majority of the people. So, another aspect that is also dangerous to the health of to the health system, particularly when it comes to Africa, is the continuation of the health reports that are coming, especially when U.S. funding to the fight against you know, AIDS and other diseases was cut, and is an indication to say African countries continue to suffer, especially after the withdrawal or cut to major U.S.-funded, you know, AIDS program, and has forced clinics to close, staff to lose their jobs, HIV service to collapse across dozen countries, and that continue to be a major threat, especially looking at that context. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll continue with the conversation. Do not leave, continue, you know, to be tuning in, because as I indicated today, we have those who have experience in the field, and also to ask them those questions. To ask them those questions to say, if you are giving us finance, financial access, if you are giving us access to banking institutions, did that improve our life, or did it make our life dangerous, or did it make our life so difficult? And what other things can be done, especially when it comes to improving of that, improving of the human lives? Because it's not correct that Namibia has a strategy, has a financial sector transformation strategy that is aiming to make sure that by 2035, almost everybody is included, almost everybody has an account, almost everybody has access to funding, especially from former financial institutions. Then, on the other side, the level of the country's inequality continue to persist. Then we have to try to find that relationship today, especially from those who have expertise in the areas of economics and also human development. So, stay tuned. We are coming back shortly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatimwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mbira hetatu natu mbali o hetatu batatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tite okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda do inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashia kengeje pa omarudi kayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatimwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with unpacking the day and also to look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, because in the next 2 hours, we'll be able to look at the Namibian part, especially looking at the financial sector. Well, the other aspect of continental affairs is happening in Kenya. It is stated that lawyers in Kenya, they launch a nationwide strike over judicial corruption and delays. They are indicating that cases in Kenya, they take an average of 2 years to be concluded. And they also speak about systemic corruption, inefficiency, and also the weakness in the judicial system. Looking at that aspect, the court boycott is going on in court across the country, with many lawyers calling Charles Kayama, the president of Law Society of Kenya, he's calling for transparency and also the change in operation, particularly when it comes to the judicial system of Kenya. That is one of the things that is not only affecting Kenya, it's also affecting countries such as South Africa and Namibia, to say why it's so very difficult to finalize cases. Why it's so very difficult to finalize cases? Why do you keep a person in a jail cell for 5 years without a formal trial? And also to look at what experts do you have, especially when it comes to making sure that the judicial system is not only stable, but deliver justice, and what level of transparency. So it's quite important to look at when those who are responsible for interpreting the law, those who are responsible for representing clients in the court of law, and also those who are responsible to make sure that they are at the center of commercial deals, particularly when it comes to contracts in terms of trading, and also many other aspects. They decided to say, let's go on strike, because the judicial system is corrupt. And also, what message is being sent, especially by the lawyers in Kenya, and what can be done to change what is happening in Kenya. And also to look at the issue of constitutionalism. Those who went to law school will be able to understand that the true interpretation of the law is not about who is having the authority, but it's about the principle of laws that are still standing, no matter who is in charge, no matter who is Chief Justice, no matter who is the PG, or no matter who is the magistrate. But if lawyers themselves, they decided to go on strike, there must be a message that is being sent, especially looking at that aspect. It's quite necessary to look at this news, and also to see when it comes to constitutional reform in Kenya and also in Africa, what can be done. Let us look at this aspect and also come back shortly.
Moving on, lawyers in the country made good their threat to boycott court proceedings on Wednesday, accusing the judiciary of frustrating accountability in protecting corrupt judicial officers. Speaking in Nairobi, the Law Society of Kenya, LSK President Charles Kanjama, vowed that the boycott will continue until the judiciary takes action against judges facing integrity issues. The judiciary has in the meantime downplayed the move, stating that the court proceedings continued in various parts of the country, despite the boycott.
There was drama at Milimani Magistrates Court in Nairobi as a group of lawyers led by Law Society of Kenya President Charles Kanjama stormed the court in a bid to stop court proceedings. Earlier, Kanjama and a group of country's top legal minds gathered at Supreme Court buildings in Nairobi on Wednesday morning to heed calls by the Law Society of Kenya for a nationwide boycott of court proceedings.
We are asking every lawyer not to appear in any court that is subject to the targeted court boycott, and that includes the Supreme Court.
We are tired of a corrupt judiciary that refuses to reform itself. In fact, the judiciary is incapable of reforming itself.
We are not fighting judges as such or magistrates as such. What we are fighting is the endemic corruption that has engulfed the judiciary in this country.
The clients will take disciplinary measures against you as an individual, because we have been paid by clients.
The lawyers claimed they are frustrated by what they termed as rampant corruption and lack of transparency in the judiciary.
If courts have become masters unto themselves, that they can stop court order, they can use court orders to stop the investigations, they can stop ESCC from digging out the dirt, they can stop the JSC from being able to handle complaints placed before them, then how can we trust in our courts?
But other than that, I've seen in the news today, a magistrate and a probation officer have been arrested for corruption. There is need for further investigation by ESCC in terms of the judges, appellate judges, the Supreme Court, just to make sure that we have integrity back into the judiciary.
In Mombasa, Law Society Chairperson Natasha Ali accused sections of the judiciary of perpetuating inefficiency and poor working relations with the advocates.
So we're discussing issues of corruption, we're discussing issues of non-functioning registries, we're discussing issues of CTS systems not working, the filing system not working, dates for a matter that was filed this year has been given for next year, January.
In Kikuyu, Kiambu County, lawyers led by Chairperson James Kihara and a section of residents supported calls for all judges and magistrates facing integrity issues to step aside and allow for investigations. Similar calls were made in Busia.
Kama kuna makosa, sheria ichukue mkono. Kama hauna, urudi kazi. Lakini hakuna venye wewe, kama judge ama magistrate, uko na kesi, una kesi za watu wengine na wewe mwenye uko na kesi.
The relationship between the judiciary and the advocates and also the litigants imedeteriorate sana. So we are saying ya kwamba, judiciary has to wake up.
A confrontation unfolded at the Nakuru Law Courts after members of the Law Society of Kenya Nakuru Chapter disrupted court proceedings that continued despite lawyers' national boycott over alleged judicial misconduct.
The judiciary right now, as it stands, there is a clear lack of competence, and there are systematic inefficiencies to how the judiciary is conducting itself.
Meanwhile, the judiciary maintained that court operations remained uninterrupted in Eldoret, Kisii, Busia, Mombasa, Nakuru, Nyeri, Meru, Nairobi, and the Court of Appeal. The judiciary says it's committed to upholding the rule of law. This as the Kenya Judges Welfare Association has called on the Law Society of Kenya to immediately suspend its targeted boycott of court proceedings, warning that the action risks denying thousands of Kenyans access to justice while undermining confidence in the judiciary. Joseph Fohungu for Prime Edition.
Yeah, we are moving forward with unpacking the day. As I indicated today, we'll be joined by those who have experience and also those who have knowledge, especially when it comes to issues of financial inclusion. Looking at yesterday, it is indicated that majority or more than 50% of Namibian adults are earning less than 2,000 or less than 2,000 per month. And it was also indicated that regardless of Namibia reaching 86% of financial inclusion, there is always a challenge, especially when it comes to human upliftment, especially when it comes to Namibia and also inequality. So I'm in communication with Mr. Solomon Ipinge, who is a consumer expert and is also an economist, to help us assisting us to discuss this situation. Mr. Solomon Ipinge, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
A very good morning and to yourself and as well as to your listener. Happy Thursday to everyone. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, we are very happy to have you and also to look at this context of financial inclusion. Let's start with it. When the Bank of Namibia, when commercial banks, when the Minister of Finance is advocating to say Namibians must come to the system, must be connected to the financial system, we must be more involved into these things of digital financing and also many other aspects. Looking at what we see now, why is the human life not improving regardless of us having accounts, especially looking at what happened yesterday and also the report? What could be the problem?
Okay, first and foremost, what I believe required to be done, although it is a good thing, although it is a positive for people, for the general Namibian to be to have financial inclusion, and to also advocate for consumers to join the digital platform.
Yeah.
I think what is also more important and what needs to be advocated and also perhaps regulated as well is to firstly require the different service providers to be able to educate the consumers about their products. So the consumers understand and appreciate the products that they are offering rather than providing or offering services that the consumers do not understand, do not appreciate, which end up, in some cases, over-indebting a consumer as a result of reckless lending, for example, or perhaps providing insurance services that do not provide benefits that is to an advantage of the consumer. So education is very important, that all, but also that piece of legislation must be implemented to protect the consumer as well. That is the first point for me to say. Unless you have any
Now, looking at those who are giving us you know, financial services, either it's an insurance, either it's a micro lender, either it's a bank itself. One may want to know, because there's quite a link between, if I'm not financially literate, I end up making a lot of mistake. But when you look at the other side of business, it seems like it's only the financial institution which is benefiting. Now my question is coming to the aspect of saying, is the context of financial literacy in Namibia really giving out the results? Because for the past 5 years or so, if you look, there's an initiative by the Ministry of Finance and everybody is talking about financial, literacy. But when you look at the non-banking sector, for example, when you look at the loan book, you start seeing that you are not seeing those results when it comes to numbers. A lot of Namibians, we are still in debt. A lot of Namibians, we are still making reckless financial decisions. And our life is not improving. We are still among the highest unequal countries in the world, regardless of all this initiative. Maybe what are we doing wrong when it comes to the financial literacy? Are we using the wrong modules? or there is something that we are not doing right. What do you think about that?
Quite frankly, and in all honesty, there are institutions or regulatory bodies, regulatory institutions that are appointed to govern the financial sector, the industry as a whole, where it is there to protect the consumer as well as to protect the lender. So they are the middle party. And they are the ones who are hosted with the power and the responsibility to implement systems to educate the consumer. But these institutions are failing to meet that obligation. There are quite a few in our country. I mean, there is the National Financial something that NLF that is somewhere in Windhoek. We've got NAMFISA, who is the regulatory body. We've got Bank of Namibia, who regulates banks. Those are the institutions that should push out the education to the consumer, that should reach out on the ground where the consumers are. And also perhaps also just create systems to broaden availability geographically. For example, most of these offices, we have them in Windhoek. And I'm not sure whether it's a lack of resources or budgeting or et cetera. But if you will see a very few materials that are shared on social media platforms, but people are on the ground. We have got servants, public servants that are working in the villages where there is no network. Most of them are using Tamagotchi because it's better to use a Tamagotchi there. We need people to be on the ground. So people are educated on the ground. Because the people on the ground understand what is going on in the livelihoods of those that are around them.
To look again on the data, I want to get it from where you are standing. You have been doing a lot of research. You deal with the consumer relations and a lot of analysis. Now, when you look at how things are, especially in Namibia now, apart from what's happening around the world, are we winning the battle of reducing income inequality in Namibia? Are we winning that battle? Are we progressing? Because to me, when I look at the number, it's a bit contradictory to say, regardless of all the efforts that we have been pushing through, what I'm getting from this result is that is few Namibians that can say they have a decent life, is few Namibians that can say they can afford what the basics needs are, where the rest we continue to be, there's a big gap in terms of income inequality, continue to widen. When are we going to win this battle? And what is your view, apart from, all the efforts that have been put through?
We are not anywhere close to win this battle, quite honestly. And I will tell you what the problem is. The problem is we, the people, the problem is entitlement. We are very entitled. Because you've got a degree in accounting, now you will sit at home, trying to find a job in a corporate, business, and not wanting to do or to start from anywhere, because we have to empower ourselves. We keep saying government can only do much. We are the government. We are the government. And so we really need to own up and take responsibility and ownership to start doing something for ourselves. Let's start from doing small business where we can employ others. And even the employed, when you are employed, please do not undermine that employment because you are employed by someone that you know or someone of your same color, or I don't know what is what is the reason. So treat that business with respect. Work together to grow the business so it employs more people. Instead of just sitting around, just do something. Go in the street like the other street vendors and trust me. If you look at those street vendors, you may look at them looking all dirty and et cetera. But those guys, they cash up on a daily basis plus or minus $400 to $800 per day. If you multiply that by 30 days, that guy is earning close to $30,000.
Yes.
You are laughing at the person because you are looking at the dress code. Money is does not have color. Money does not have date or clean or what.
Yeah. No, it's a very good thing that you brought that aspect to say us, the people, we also have a lot to be blamed about. Now, let us look at those who have power. What is that financial institution did wrong, especially to change the structure of Namibian economy? Because it has always been in the mouth of those who are leading Namibia financial institutions that we have to make sure that Namibia, we fill this gap that is continued to widen, especially when it comes to income inequality. They have been complaining in the public. I don't want you to enter into that debate, but they have been complaining in the public to say, man, the insurance sector, the non-bank sector has a lot of funds and they are not really releasing these funds to developmental projects, or there is more money, but this money are not owed by the Namibian people. Let's look at the system and the authority. Then we can look at what needs to be done. Then I will let you go.
Perfect.
Mm.
Right. Look, the financial sector is a very powerful sector in terms of the country's economy as a whole. And I always... I keep preaching and I keep advocating, and sometimes they don't like me for it, because my fight is always that, look, if we work together and we empower the people, we can change this country drastically. But we have a system that is created with loopholes, or that is created for the financial sectors, especially banks and insurance companies, to have some form of power. And that power, and it's always dangerous. It's always dangerous when someone has power over someone. It's always dangerous because this the consumer is vulnerable to the one that is having the power. And they have got more rights, then legislation protects them more. That is the problem with the system, because the system and the legislation, the laws that are implemented currently on in the financial sector, we are still using the Credit Agreement Act of the 1974. Sorry for that.
okay. I hear you.
Those laws were designed during the apartheid era. Those laws were designed to keep someone as a slave, someone, you know. So those are still the rules, or that those are still the laws that are in the system. And those laws are designed exactly to oppress a target, in which case here is the consumer. So it is very difficult, and it is we're not going to see any changes unless the legislations are changed and the legislations are implemented. Yes, there are certain discussions that are going on with the ministry of finance, pushing for the new legislation to come through. But we must also be very careful as consumers, and that includes you, that when these laws are being implemented and that they are being consulted with in the public, let's ensure that we read through these bills or these drafts so that we understand that the draft is designed to actually protect and you as a consumer and be fair to all the parties. Because when there is a new law that is being implemented, then the very banks and the insurance companies intervene or interfere, your microlenders will interfere to twist the law to be
to the advantage
to their advantage alone. So that's where we need to be careful as the consumers as well. So let's be on the lookout for that bill. Let us look at it. Let us participate. Let us draft our comments and etc.
Yeah, just two more questions. I know you are a very busy man, but let's combine this with the informal sector. Last year there was a study which was done by Bank of Namibia and also other partners to look at it's called diagnostic of the informal sector and the aim of bringing the informal sector to formal. And I remember correctly at that presentation, there was an indication to say Namibia must operate with one in one economy, because studies indicated that the informal sector actually employed around 58% of the Namibians are employed in the informal sector, and they're contributing more than the mining sector to the GDP of this country. Now, there are a lot of things that the people in the informal sector, they are saying, no, you want us, you want to bring us to the former environment so that you can deal with us, or you can also get our money, or you want to bring us to the former sector, but you are not going to assist us in that aspect. Now, to look at how things are now, do you think is it a right way to make sure that we formalize the smaller businesses, we formalize the Akapana and all these other businesses so that they can have access to finance? Or do you think we need to take our time, especially looking at how things are, to say you have a lot of accounts which are open, but the accounts are not working because they are empty, or the accounts are on minus. It's only the bank which is benefiting. What do you think about this initiative, particularly to formalize the informal sector, and the argument that is coming from people that are in the sector to say, no, 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 we are taking our time?
In my honest opinion, and I agree with the people, because at the current state where we are, I will agree with the people to say we need to take the time, because if we implement the changes, or if we implement the changes to the to more commercial from the informal sector, then the laws and legislations must also come along. Some power is deprived off of these commercial institutions. Because right now, as we are, I'm telling you, there is no pity in the commercial industry at all. There is no, it's almost,
it's cutthroat.
It's almost unreal. So I'm in total agreement that we need to take the time. Because our informal sector is really the only sector that really, really drives the economy of our country, because our money is circulating within ourselves. And as soon as you turn it commercial, I mean, those are already indications that you've got money being chopped out of the country.
Last three, then, you also have to give your advice, especially at this difficult time. Somebody may also want to ask to say, why at the best time in Africa, why at a time where Africa has among the fastest growing economies. Namibia economy continue to be very slow. When will be our time? And what is your advice as an economist, so from where you are standing, what is your advice that we need, what we need to do immediately to keep up? Because Zimbabwe is ahead of us, Sudan is ahead of us, Uganda, and even countries that have war, their economy are growing faster than us. Why is it that, and what can be done?
It's very simple. Firstly, let us just climb off our horses and humble ourselves with whatever qualifications that we have and create jobs. Let's just be innovative in creating jobs within our country, with employing our own people. That really, it just got down to that, just boiled down to that. Let us create employment, any form of employment. Let us be innovative. We've got a lot of land. Agriculture. We have a project, a farm. We produce vegetables. We sell them locally. You recycle everything. I mean, there is just a vast of an opportunity for us than rather trying to chase the corporate industry.
Yes, sir.
It's just going to also destroy your brain because they...
Okay, Mr. Solomon Ipinge, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for that input, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Yeah, that is Solomon Ipinge. He's an economist, and he indicated that there's a lot of things that we need to do, especially when it comes to financial inclusion, and also to look at what we need to do, especially as individuals, to say we also have ourselves to blame. To say me with my MBA in business strategy or my MBA in innovation, I want to become a senior business analyst, or I want to become a CEO or a board of director. But knowing exactly that things are very tough, indicated that we have ourselves to blame, especially looking at this aspect. And also, you also look at the aspect of financial education, to say people must be able to go on the ground and also communicate effectively, particularly where we are. And also to look at the financial sector, to say we are happy when you are saying the financial sector is stable, is sound, and also the financial sector can withstand external pressure. But the question that one may be able to ask is that, is the Namibia financial sector saving the people of Namibia, or saving the majority? And one of the interesting things that the governor of Bengal Namibia said yesterday is that we need to move beyond having an account. An account must be productive. An account must have a positive impact. It's not only about me having access to e-wallet, or me having access to Pesa, or having access to credit, but me being able to be very happy and also be able to be very productive. To look at the aspect of income inequality, just for your records, we are still among the highest unequal countries in the world. Economically, we are number two to South Africa, unless something has changed yesterday. Number two, following South Africa in terms of income inequality. That put us in a very dangerous position, especially if you want to uplift human development, regardless of having resources. That put us at a very vulnerable position. And also to ask a question, to say, are the deals, are the strategies, are the plans that we are putting in place able to assist us? So let's look at the caller and come back shortly, and then know that from 9:30 there, then we'll be able to be joined by one of the senior economists, that is Cecilia Nekwaya Okafo, especially to look at financial inclusion. Let us look at the caller and come back shortly. You can call back at 083-288-401, so that you can give your contribution. And we can also look at constructive criticism to say, apart from the financial institutions, what other things are we doing? Are the financial institutions selective in giving financial assistance? Are they for the people, or they just mean business, and that business is for themselves alone? What is that human beings are doing, and what is that institution and authority need to do? You can engage us at 083-288-401. Let's look at a short commercial break and come back shortly.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite ofoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora.
Good morning.
Yes, morning, Galudo.
Morning.
Yes, morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you properly.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah. Actually, when it comes to finance, I think there's a lot of things need to be done.
Yeah.
So when it comes to banking, I think the banks still having that apartheid policy.
Yeah.
They are selective.
Okay.
This is selective, really. Because if you look, even you put your money there as a business person, they know that you always don't do transaction and so on.
Yeah.
But when you are going for even for a loan, telling you are hardly to get it unless you are having assets somewhere where they can be reliable for you. They know that if you didn't succeed, they come and take it as property. Yeah, for me, I think it's wrong. Really. Because remember one thing, that sometimes this bank is supposed to be what they're having, reality. Because sometimes you are having maybe some policy there, like you're having an investment even, and you're having a policy which is exactly more than even 5 years. Why even bank they don't come up like in the or in Switzerland, they don't come to lend people money? Well, maybe you've been there for on the saving or having a what do you call this, a policy like a funeral one?
Yeah,
because then maybe they can even, like, okay, after maybe 5 years, you didn't claim anything.
Yeah.
They'll be able to, that's why people are even coming up with this scheme, because they know the money are just there, but you never get it unless you die or something happens to you.
So people are dying where they are alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think they are alive because they know you are not going to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some of the insurance, they are scam already. Like a life cover.
And the one thing also, maybe just to end to your contribution, when you look at some insurance company, do they explain the whole insurance policy? Do they explain the whole contract to us, or they just look at the benefit part when they send their agents to you? They just look at what you can get, but do they also explain that you may also lose your money if you don't behave?
They don't do that. Because remember one thing, that whatever they tell you, and as people, we never even question, how I'm going to get this money if you are telling me I'm only going to get 1.5 when I die. That is the problem, and we don't question. And the thing also, when you check even the NEPA contract is so huge, which maybe is supposed to say you as a person take it, then you leave it for the whole week. Because there are so many rules and terms and conditions.
No, they just tell you to say, come, sign here.
Sign here, and stick in the box, or you put your ID, what is here. That's all.
I think we should also look at our lawmakers also to say, maybe it's also the time now to say every insurance institution must have somebody who is just a legal expert to fully explain to an individual just before I look at the benefits, what are the implications?
Exactly.
What other implications are there? Because sometimes I sign because I want something. It's the same with buying something that has a guarantee, but you don't even know.
You don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. They don't tell us the best. If what happened to you after 3 months, you didn't pay your account.
Yeah.
Hey, my friend.
I'll come take your bed.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at the financial inclusion. Somebody indicated to say, regardless of a lot of Namibians get an opportunity to have bank accounts, it did not change their lives because we become even more poor. What do you think is the problem? Because having an account without money is the same as not having one. What do you think is something that was omitted there, especially looking at the financial inclusion part?
Yeah, if you look at the financial inclusion part, is that the more even you save at the bank, the more you are likely to lose a lot of money. And there were no opportunities. Because I cannot really encourage people to put it under the one.
The mattress. Yeah.
Or mattress or carpet. But the thing is that when you look at the, I'm comparing, when I'm doing this, I'm doing a comparison with the people who are selling, the vendors.
Yeah.
Who are selling and taking money. That time it is even better not to have a legitimate company. Because the more you legitimate, the more you become poor. Some of us are owing Amula, you are owing Bipa, you are owing Social Security, equity and what? My friend, problem is that it's hard to do business in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the level of doing business. Because now, if you look at those people, like, now if you are selling, then you are getting like a 300 a day.
Yeah.
Now you put that money as in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
As a saving.
Mm-hmm.
That time when you are going, let me say now like a 32.
Yeah.
Account. Mm-hmm. When you are bringing that law, I mean, maybe you want more stock, then now you are going to say, no, I want money in this.
Mm-hmm.
The bank will charge you more than.
The
agreement. You see, those are things I think will really affecting our people. That's why a lot of people, they prefer to have the bank under the mattress than going to really bank.
Now, did financial education, and I'm going to be in communication with the senior economist from BON just in a few minutes, but I want you to look at financial literacy. When we have been taught financial literacy, either it's at school, either it's my teacher of entrepreneurship, is the financial literacy in Namibia really working? Or we are using old modules? Because the problem is that the teachers of mathematics and the teachers of entrepreneurs are the ones who owed more. And they are the ones who are in financial problem. They are accountants themselves. But what is going on, especially looking at financial literacy? What do we need to do there in Namibia?
No, if you look, the people who are suffering mostly at the end of loan sack and whatever, are the people who are supposed to understand the economy.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at the teachers, you look at the policemen, mostly, those are people who have been affected by this loan sack. And they are the people who are supposed to understand better than the people who are, some of them not educated.
But what do you think we can do now?
The thing is, I think it's literacy. Because I'm telling you, you cannot go to get a loan because you just want to buy food. Or you just want to pay electricity. Go and get a loan. Will you know you can do if it's something to create more.
Mm-hmm.
Or investment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think we are failing, especially in our school. We never been taught this. And you just, I'm telling you, some of us, we went to this vocation training center.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we come from there without even know how to fill the form of VIT. I'm telling you, we have to come in now. I have to hire somebody to do it that for me.
Yeah.
Or teach me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or just to come up with a business or business, or designing a business.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that, but we're supposed to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are people who are supposed to be independent to create a job.
Mm.
But now we find ourselves away. We are looking for a job again.
Just lastly, when you look at where we are now as a country, you know, there is a lot of things nobody cannot acknowledge what the government has done. But the question that I'm asking is that, are we winning? Are we moving to where we want to get into? And if we are not moving, who is blocking us to move where we want to get into, especially looking at 2030 and also beyond? Because we should not only live for 2030. We have a lot of unfinished projects ahead of us. What do you think we must do, just from where you are standing as an individual?
For me, I think we're supposed to come up with a policy if we want to develop, because we are not moving, because now we are put in the pool. Just imagine, my friends, you are come from you are just from the street.
Yeah.
Then, let me say, put it in this way, maybe for laymen to understand.
Yeah.
Just like a little money, you need the opponent and the government taking you to a little money. You never even been in the gym to post with a little money.
Yeah.
This is what is happening with our government.
Mm.
They are allowing people who come from, who've been in the business for 100 years, to come and compete with Namibian people. Just imagine now, if you are a graduate as a IT. And now I'm coming to my cousin, you are my cousin, you lend me 4,000 to start my repairing shop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an Indian next to me, or Chinese. Yeah?
Mm.
It's where I'm buying my, it's a supplying of my cover, to phone cover and whatever, screen cover. Now, this guy is also selling one by one. You see?
Indeed.
It's very tough. Really, we are not going to achieve this until we come up with a policy way to protect the entrepreneur.
Just hold on. Stay on the line. Just hold on.
This winter, Washamba Mall is turning your shopping into winning. Spend 200 Namibian dollars or more at any shop in Washamba Mall and you could win a 500 Namibian dollars shopping voucher every Friday. The more you shop, the more chances you have to win. Don't miss out. Visit Washamba Mall in Ondangwa from 3rd to 31st July 2026. Shop, enter your till slip with your name and number into the competition box located in the mall, and stand a chance to win a shopping voucher from Washamba Mall. Don't miss our lucky winner live draw on Eagle FM every Friday from 1500 hours.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not...
Yes, your advice to...
Yeah, what I was saying is that we are moving in low space.
Yeah.
Because We are working on the solo. We are not even working together because everybody's operating his own. And that is not really going to achieve Vision 2030, because we are not even working to 2% or 5% toward that to Vision 2030. And that's the problem. That's why we much of our position, they don't talk about it anymore.
Okay. Thank you for your input.
All right, my brother, I will listen to the interview.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, we are moving forward with unpacking the day. And our guest will join us live in after an hour. We'll be coming at the 10:30 there, especially to look at the part of the gender and financial inclusion, to say why women, they are doing very well, especially when it comes to financial access. What have we done wrong as men? And as I indicated, I guess it's a gender focal point for Alliance for Financial Inclusion. And also it's been central, especially to the financial transformation sector strategy. And also if you go and read where Namibia want to get into, particularly in terms of finance, you'll be able to see that the goals and ambitions are there. But the question that we should also ask ourselves is that, is my grandmother understanding, or is my grandmother know and understand that there is something that is called financial sector transformation strategy? There is something that is indicating that by 2035, even if you are just selling fat cakes, you can go to FNB, just for an example, or to other financial institutions, then you get a loan and continue with your business. Do they know that there is a document like that, or is just a document which is not really understood by every person? But that is going to be explained when, especially from 10:30 there. Good morning.
David.
Yes, sir, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
I'm good, how are you doing?
Kapsine kucho kala mwisimbo penipo kuja po 6 saro amono.
Mara uchimacho sima nandisho sistema, undrimo sistema.
Sima kujo mwenye kakira ndora ato ato mwono ngitiru cho mwono ulipa ite. Waya mwike po 6 saro matango.
Yeah, but you can be, you can be able to look at the posters. The posters are the one that are indicating to you who is next. Ah, ato
pikinike, nandina ato tara ko posta ni, ato tari ya ato pikinike kuchao. Oya mo po 6 sa. A matiria yo el mutano duwa ikasita ya mo. Sa tu denge kumo itonya mukura.
Wari wa pake na on the radar unake?
On the radar. Kucha o ngero tapu ikina kungwe. Unambo tapu ikina kungwe. Cha matita ya mo cha shike tama na. Ungwe ulimo.
Ochona andi kupura kucha amu. Ngwapiki ngwari wapiki na onde raida andwari to denga ndandiko yamukura shike shashi ngwamuno ndirimo ndepa andiko yamukura shike
siko usiku chondi manjo no aita mige po 4 koma tango sike weyamo
okay na tutare ne kucha contribution neno ya chike shono tuchadanga ni na tango commission
ukubiri na hiyo financial inclusion na hiyo kwa Kenya na yape ni
financial inclusion, we are speaking about financial inclusion.
What is wrong with that financial inclusion? It has been it's a declaration that has been there. So what is wrong with that financial inclusion?
No, I'm looking at your contribution because we have been discussing it. Especially to look at the recently released report. What do you think about it? Does owning a bank make your life easier or difficult? Owning a bank account?
Whether you have an account or it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What matters is the accountability. Even if you have an account, there's nobody who doesn't have an account. Even those people who have been previously excluded from financial from financial inclusion or whatever, they are still having an account, so they still need they still have the need to get some kind of security, them finance.
Mm.
But it does not matter because everybody has got almost an account, whether with financial First National Bank or Standard Bank or Ned Bank, whatever. They have got an account there. So that when you have an account, does it mean that you are financially inclusion?
Yeah, you are. When you have access to the bank, you have access to NAMPOST, you have access to an insurance, you are financially included. But does that make your life easier?
No, it doesn't.
Mm.
It does not.
Mm.
Because even if I want to get into business, for example, I will not get it. I will not get it there. But I have got an account, a banking account. I've got I can go there and withdraw money. The money is actually owned by the commercial bank. First National Bank or Ned Bank or Standard Bank. But I don't get any benefit. But my money is there. What difference does it make, actually? I don't have anything, any benefit from that account. So financial inclusion is a broader, is so wide. But I don't get benefit as a person. But I've got a bank account. With financial, with the First National Bank, or any other bank. Does it mean that I can enjoy the benefit
of having
that account?
Yeah, that is exactly what we are speaking today to say. What other things can be done? Because when you see that we are at 86% based on the data that are interpreted, we are at 86% with that, which means that a majority of adults in Namibia, if you don't have access to an ATM, you have access to, you having an account or you have cell phone banking and all these kind of things. But the question is that what other things need to be done to make sure that apart from you having an account, apart from you having access to a bank, your life is better. What other things need to be done?
It doesn't make your life better.
I'm saying,
because I don't get benefit. If I want to get into, say, I want to run a business, I've got an account there with Standard Bank, First National Bank. I don't get any benefit. What does it help me? Or what does it help any ordinary person?
So you rather not have it?
Whether you have it, if you have the money to your mattresses, they will look at it as a para-para issue. Because I don't want to put my money in the bank, the commercial bank, which is going to generate interest for other people who can do business. So why can't the law allow me to keep my money in the mattress?
Mm-hmm.
If I keep my money in the mattress, it's fine. Because the interest that is going to be accumulated is not going to sponsor or finance any other person who is already rich.
So you want another palapala case. If you put them in a mattress, your grandson will sort you out, then you will not recover from that defeat.
Perhaps I will recover, but at least my money is going to generate interest on my own. But if it generates interest for other people to advance their business, fine, but what do I get from there?
No, I think we are not here to discredit financial institution. We are just saying what other things can be done? Because we are not saying having an account is not a good thing. We are just saying, is it in line with where we want to get into? Because it's mostly celebrating.
Where do you want to get into?
We want to get into 2030 where Namibians are not poor as they are now, and we have filled this gap of economic inequality.
Do you want to tell me that if I put my money in the commercial bank, the people are not going to be in the position of poverty where they are today?
I don't think we understand each other because...
You do not understand each other. What I'm saying is that even if I put my money in the commercial bank, and that money is going to accumulate the interest, that interest is going to benefit me as an individual or as a society, or is going to benefit those who have got money already? That's the question. That's the issue. Because even if I put my $100 million into the commercial bank, is it going to benefit me? Or is it going to benefit the person who's actually keeping the money into the chopper?
But it's not only, that is not the only service, but when you have an account, you can also send your child the money that is going to school, right?
No, I've been sending, let me tell you.
I'm just indicating to you that there are other services too that apart from.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. That those services must benefit me. The interest that's accumulated must go to my own interest. Nothing go to the interest of those who are there already, who are already financially included in financial power.
So they must just help you. They must just help you for free.
Not for free, because my money there is not for free.
So they can just hold your money for free, assisting you to save for free.
What I'm saying is that if I keep my money in the bank, no matter how much amount that I am keeping in the bank, commercial bank. It's not going to be free because already I'm going to be charged interest.
Yeah.
But my children, what are they going to benefit from that money that I'm keeping in the bank?
No, it's a good thing that you brought it up because one of the discussion is that apart from me being a client, what opportunities are there for me to be a shareholder too? Because in other countries and in Namibia too, there are also parts where people are given an opportunity to buy, shares within the institutions that, they are looking into or they are working with.
Let them focus on the issue of buying share.
Yeah.
If I want to buy share.
Yeah.
Maybe not treasury or bills or whatever that can do. Company is always telling us. But it does not benefit me at currently. Even if I put money in the, even if I put $1 million, let's say the unit trust, what do I get from that? I only get benefit if I go and withdraw from the one that I just mentioned, but I don't get anything.
Okay, now, if you have a question that you want me to ask Ms. Cecilia when she's coming to join us in 30 minutes, what question do you think I should ask her? Because
I was watching the news, listening to the president of Botswana.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how to sustain their economy.
Yeah.
From this herbs, ganja. Are you getting me? From ganja.
I hear you.
And they say they want to resuscitate their economy from using herbs. You know herbs is ganja,
no? No, it's not.
What is it?
No, herb is a lot of things involved. Ganja is part of it.
Yes, part of it. You can make pulse, you can make medicine, Mm. You can make any other things from that.
So you want us to go that route also?
Why can't we go to that route? Because the Botswana and Namibia and South Africa and Zambia, they are all looking at that venue to make sure that, yes, this herb can revive the economy. Like in the Botswana, they are saying, the president was saying there, that they want to make sure that they are no longer in debt, because, and they are going to make use of the herbs to recover their economy, to pay their debt. How can we do the same thing if the president is doing that?
Okay. I hear you. I want your question that I should ask the expert who is coming in 30 minutes or so.
Who is that one? You still mentioned it already. Who is that one?
Oh, it's a Syrian choir.
Syrian choir? Can you also allow us an opportunity to ask him?
It's a lady.
It doesn't matter whether it's a lady or whoever. It doesn't matter.
No.
Let me conclude with the Kenyan issue. The law. I don't think the law is really biased.
Yeah.
So if it is true that yes, I don't want the lawyer to be corrupted, if they can defend the interest, the public interest, it's fine. But if they are the one who can be corrupted, I've got an issue with that.
No, the lawyers are not. The lawyers are the one who are protesting in Kenya. They are saying the judicial system is corrupt. They are looking at prosecutor and magistrate and judges. They are saying judges are being arrested up and down. Cases they take more than 2 years. And looking at these cases and looking at Namibia, I'm saying we are even worse, because we are even at 7 years now. Some of the cases not yet finalized.
You know the reason why the cases are not yet finalized? Why?
I don't know.
Maybe I should ask you, my learned friend. Tell us, why is the case taking so long? They are not concluded.
You must tell me. I just gave a reason why they are protesting in Kenya, and I gave an example of Namibia also.
Namibia is a good case of study. So, of course, we can draw case law from those other countries. But many a times, when we draw those cases from other countries, we should also looking at our own issue here. I don't understand. So our own case, our own law, our judicial system here is up and running. There's no need for us to worry about other cases there. If they are not doing it, it's their own case, it's their own issue. For our own judicial system here, it's fine. So maybe there are other cases or due influences that are influencing their sectors. I don't know. Maybe you tell me better.
Let's look at others. Let's give others opportunities too.
Don't worry. They can always get an opportunity, but they don't come in anyway.
No. That should not be a conclusion. You can't preempt what will happen in the future. It's not right.
Of course, you are right. That I cannot preempt. I don't know what is going to come in.
No. It's not right.
Let's wait and listen.
All right.
If they can come in, and our financial inclusion is fine enough.
All right.
Good.
Yeah, that is Uncle Buana. And thank you for the contribution. We are moving forward with Unpacking the Day. It's 51 minutes past the hour of 9. And as I indicated, in 30 minutes, our guest will be here. And there are a lot of questions. I also have a lot of questions here. Then you can also assist me, because finding an expert at the national level, although it's easy, but finding an expert who is dealing with a very important aspect of the finance of Namibia, it's quite important, especially to look into that context. And the debate is continuing to say what other things can be done, and are we winning the battle of economic inequality? Are we moving toward what we want to get into? And what excuse are we going to give when we reach 2030? Is it going to be the excuse of saying the global, there is a fight in the global market, or there are people that are disrupting our trade? Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, good.
Mm.
How are you?
No, I'm doing well.
Okay.
Yes.
So, the women are including in the, they have a good relationship with the, who says so?
No, no, continue.
No, there are no such as a thing.
No, who is making accounts for them?
No, if you say that they have a good opportunity to get job possessions, yes, that one is different. But how do you expect them to build up a relationship with the bank?
No, they have more accounts. They have access to insurance. They have access to other financial services compared to men. I don't. That is what is presented by numbers. The question is that. Are they not opening? I don't want to say they are opening on behalf of other people, but what could be that aspect? Because it's something that we're going to look at.
Yeah, but if you look at the source of income for them now, to be trusted that you are guaranteed, maybe those one who are taking up the child maintenance, what? Maybe that is what you can say. Yes, like someone in South Africa, but you cannot tell me that. It cannot bring up a relationship with the bank for you just because you are selling your body. Yeah, maybe if you are selling for $1,000, yes, you can say, what is your source of income?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm this type. Oh, I'm selling Kapana, but in the night I'm selling what? Yes.
So you are saying maintenance. Why are men not at that part of maintenance? It's quite difficult to find a man having a child maintenance.
Yeah, no, men, for them to taking over for their children, you have to prove that who is going to raise that kid on behalf of you. Because men, they don't have a nest.
Oh.
Where they can put that. So if you are now taking your child to your mother's house, so that she will find evidence to presenting in court that look at my child with her grandmother who is the, I'm always in giving them 500, but my child is walking barefoot. Yeah. Mm. Because she said the shoe is for what?
Uh-huh.
So at the end of the day, they will say, "No, we are removing the child from your mother to yeah." So that is how they are.
Now,
that's how they understand.
Now, what do you think about financial inclusion now in Namibia? To say, is it really helping us, or we just continue to become to be connected to the financial sector that we are not really benefiting?
No, the issue is that we don't have a constant or a stand that proven us that we know the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if you are a Kapana seller, the profit that you are getting just to buy back your stock, they are not saving. If you put the money on the bank and we want that money tomorrow, how now? We are just... The bank will not consider you as a bank partner because you don't have any saving. If now tomorrow I lend you $500, so where are you going to get it? Because the Kapana that you are selling doesn't make profit.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how they are.
But is it a good start
for the Namibian?
No, is it a good start for Namibians to have access to bank accounts, even if they are still highest unequal in terms of the economy? Maybe we are going to get there. Is it a good start, or what do you think?
It's not a good start. First, you need to teach people what is the rules of the game. So, because it doesn't help much to startup, because startup investment is easy, but operation, the one that you are going to use it for every day, so how are you getting your stock, and how much is your stock generating, and how much is your surplus, the one that is left into paying the loans.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not paying the loans with the stock money. You need to making more. You need to prove that now to the bank. But if you give me $500 and I need to pay back $70 per day, for example, so how much money do I make myself? You need to make 130, right?
Yeah.
So the $60 is yours, and the $6 is yours, $30 is for the interest, $30 is for saving. Because you cannot be a slave for them. They avoided that also. They don't want you to work for them. If you don't have a constant financial, a source, they cannot give you the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is what... And the other issue, before you ask me, is that as Tate said, he must put his money in the mattress. The money, the physical currency is not yours. Only the number that is yours. So if you put that money in your safe or in whatever you are putting, and the reserving bank hear that there is a person who has stored money on somewhere there. You make it difficult for the bank to print another money. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Bank doesn't need to print another money. That's why that circulation needing to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Take it back to the bank and get the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So the number is yours, but the physical currency is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
So that money you are saving is needed to be circulated somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is what in another law, which was also putting to Ramaphosa. But Ramaphosa was saved because it's not a South African money.
Mm.
It was a United States money. It cannot prosecute it with South African money on behalf of the other countries' currency.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where he escaped. But in Namibia, if you are having $200, in especially if you mark it or whatever, anything that you are doing to that fiscal money,
yeah,
you are damaging somebody's property. It's not your property. It's government property.
Uh-huh.
You don't have a right to save it. That's why they're putting up a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Where bank is a public institute.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everyone.
Now, if you have to ask now, I'll give you you call in, obviously, when Meme Cecilia come here. At 9:30. Now, mm-hmm. What other things do we need to do? Because when I look at that report, it really shocked me, especially when it speak about financial inclusion. And I was expecting to say, if we are at 80% financially included, at least our income inequality streets have changed. Then I realized that I was not proven right. It seems like we are progressing in one sector, but the issue of the Namibian people did not change.
Yeah. Okay. For that one now, send me the report also.
Yeah. No. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I wanted to look at on also to understand those financial issues that let us also focusing on Angola Namibia border,
mm-hmm.
those people who are trading there, get also time and then
we need to look at it so that people can understand the financial saving that we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, on your question now is that, as I said, we need to teach our people what is the bank, what is the bank want for them.
Mm.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. The source of income, because for you to open up a bank, it doesn't say you have a source of income. That's why now today, if you go to the bank, they have to ask you a proof of where you're going to get the money.
Yeah.
That you can saving on the account. Not as just a proof to say, I'm a Namibian, I want to open up a bank. No.
Yeah.
You have to prove to people, because they don't want you to open an account today, tomorrow the account is closed. No. They want you to see whether you can maintain that with your transaction that you are getting every day. Because as I give you an example of the Kapana meme, the money that they are using is not even money for the bank. It's a money for the ShopRite, Chopis, and what, and where they get the stock. So how they can go to the bank? If the 500 that she's making today, it needed to take about 380 for buying a new stock. So you don't need the bank for that. You understand? And when you are boosting them, you are boosting them the same way that was introduced by the Minister of Trade in the 90s. To do that is to see how can I help them, whether I can give them a good pot for them to cook more meat, whether I can giving them access into the good market,
where they can
pass in a lot of people so that they can sell more. So those are the things that the regulators, they don't do. They don't focus on how to boost these people. Not by financial. Financial doesn't help anything because you are not making money. And that is what I give you an example of these women. They are doing the same thing. But them, they know that if I have five or six children, which is I putting up them, they're supporting, financial supporting from their men. I can make more for $2,000 a week or a month. Yeah.
Just last three days. There is always something that concerns me, especially the content of financial literacy that we give in Namibia. I'm not discrediting what has been given, but one may ask to say, why is my teacher of entrepreneurship failing to manage his own money? Why is my teacher of accounting failing to manage his own money too? And which financial literacy is really going to help us, especially in the context where we are? Which content? Are we doing something wrong? Or how come those who are supposed to be at the forefront of educating us about finance, they are also struggling? What might be the problem?
Yeah, no, that one is a easy thing to look at it.
Yeah.
Because the demand of their needs, the daily needs is higher more than what they earn.
Yeah.
So that is where they cannot prove to you that they are doing better than others. Because if you look at them, for example, just in that take a period of go to school from 80 to 130,
yeah,
it's already maybe need $200 for them to do that.
Uh-huh.
You see, yeah, every day. And how much is she make? She's making 26,000. And where she live is also, and where she need also to dress presentable. So that is another cost. So all those things is not, doesn't need you to save money.
But
for your operation.
But why somebody who did not go to school and has a lot of responsibility able to do that? Are we using the wrong formula? Are we not teaching people really how the banks are working? Because this is the same person who have access to credit too.
No, as I say, the credit, the source of income that they are getting, it cannot maintain the credit also. So because there are no surplus, there are no money that is left in for you to paying the interest of your loan. So you cannot get that loan. You are not approved to get a house because you have no money that can every month
that 3,000, you cannot get it because you don't have it. Look at your expenses. The bank is proving you with your bank statement. You understand? Yeah, it's proving you wrong that look at your bank statement of last month. All the money went like this. Look at you go to ShopRite, you go to what, you go to cash loan. Look at all that. The money is gone. If we're giving now a loan for you to pay us in 3,000 per month, where are you going to get that money? It's already a gray thing. Yeah, coming to those school dropout and doing well, we don't have them in Africa. But if you go in the United States or the global north, for example, they leaving the school with the ambition or with the dream of doing something. You understand? They don't just run away from school to say, I'm no more wanting to school. No, they look at where they are going from there. It's where everybody, even their parents, when they ask them, why you want to drop out of school? He says, no, I'm going to invent my map or I mean my apps or I'm going to start doing my engineering, what, all of those things. So they've proven now to the market that they can do better. If they are presented into the financial institute, so they can be loaned. Because what they are presenting is a bankable thing. By tomorrow, they will be making money. That is what now we are comparing to say, look at all those guys that they are running huge companies. Their school dropout. They leave the school because they are dreaming of making that company. So that is where they're different. But if you are coming now to Namibia and say, no, this guy is a school dropout.
Yeah.
It's a school dropout, but he cannot manage the finance. How now? If you go to single quarter, you find those guys who are selling Kapana, who say they are making money. Ask them their bank account, whether they have any account. They will not have it. Sometimes their money is operating, circulating. It never go to the financial where they can financially can get evaluated to them that they can making money. So that is what, those are the issue that you cannot tell, school dropout, they are making money. No. A one time thing that we are seeing people are dropping out and well connected. Yes, that's why they are eating up the money for the project. Not to say you buy a lot of goods because of your profit. No.
Okay, just last three that Andrew, just to look at where we are getting, because I'm always asking the question to say at what pace are we moving toward reaching our national development priorities. It's still the same question I'm going to ask Mr. Cecilia, to say if we are moving to 120-30, at what pace are we moving? Are we moving at 120? Are we at gear 1? Or we are at the service station still putting fuel?
In Namibia, looking on the alignment of reaching 2030, is by prediction it was really good, but by investment, Namibia is not reaching 2030 with anything in hand. So those are the issues that the money, we don't have it. If you look at even for example, on housing, the goals of or the desire of the NDP6, it doesn't prove anything that they can even in breeding up 10,000 units in countrywide. They cannot do that. That is already something. And when we are looking at the very addition for their producting or the participation of the oil industry or mining industry, Namibians, they don't have financing to do that. So those are now the things I say. Some of the people that appears like they have money, their money, they are not legit. NAMFISA is still looking for them to see how we can get this money. And if you look at it now, Namra, who is a newcomer and the new hard player also, he looking also all of that. But unfortunately, they cannot catching this guy on cars. Because they are only having cars. They don't have houses. And to say, how do you manage to building up a 6 million house? No, they don't have that. But they're driving a car with 6 million dollars. Mm-hmm. So if you go to them, they will tell you that go and ask the garage, who give me the car? Mm-hmm. So case closed already. So that is where now I'm saying we don't have investors in our own soil that they can
maybe keep
our economy.
But the money is a black market killing our economy? Because you find the people are operating in Namibia, but they cannot even explain where they get their money from. Is a black market killing our economy?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what happened to Kennedy, F. Kennedy's era was
mm-hmm.
United States. Yeah, because there was a lot of mafias from Italy
mm-hmm.
coming to operating in big cities like Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, and at that time in New York, it was not big enough taking up the market. So many people were shining, but we don't know where the money come from. And,
uh-huh.
But on Namibia, we know that money is coming from the government. That is boosting those guys. That's why some of the public projects, you hear that it was introducing today, but if you follow it after 6 months, you're not finding something for that.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
those are the things that the money is already taken. And the people who are giving that money, they also feel shame to come public and say, we were giving Namibian to do this project, but now they run away without paying us. They just keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why now it's not a black market to say, those guys who are owning bars in Oshakati, they are making money. No, they are not making money.
It's a cover up.
You asking those bartenders, you asking them that, how much money are you making
in a week? Yeah.
I should be telling you that, no, we are just making maybe 1.8.
Yeah.
No, people are buying beers here. But your boss is driving the Land Cruiser. You see now. So those are the things that I'm saying.
Yeah.
That one is not big. And our... may rest in peace. Our Hage wanted to prove it that in the United States, not United Nations.
Yeah.
He wanted to prove it that look at this. Jinko, it's like this, man.
Yeah.
What was happening to Namibia?
Mm.
When the tenders were issued by the government of Tatekoamba, those tenders, even if are issued in Rutrecht, that money we're reaching in Verwakasamani. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So because the money was a lot and circulated everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So now, when those World Bank saw that,
mm-hmm.
they thought it's a business activity.
Oh.
And the president, when he went there, he said, no, you cannot say that we are making money.
Yeah.
No, this was somebody who issued the money, giving money for free.
Mm-hmm.
So, but everybody says no. They are making money. Look at the cars. Because if you look at that document, there was a car that they're mentioning there that people are buying more cars, German cars, all over Namibia.
Mercedes-Benz.
Now they were talking about. So that was the proof of saying GDP it were not growing.
Mm-hmm. But are we going to win? Are we going to win? We have an ambitious government. We have. We are in a new era. We have new captains of critical industries. Are we maybe going to win? Apart from 2030, let's say we don't really reach everything by 2030, but are we going to get there? Maybe 2040.
But Meme is doing good.
Okay.
Meme herself is doing good. The driver of the bus is doing good. But the passenger...
We are disturbing him.
No. They are not really. Remember, he said, even when he's telling those guys in China, I need partners.
Yeah.
I don't want people that they can come and operate freely in Namibia. I want them to operate with the Namibians.
Yeah.
But who are those Namibians that they have an idea of doing business? Look at what those Tamini, what learners that they are taking over the whole Vambolend now. Because they are solving the people's problem. The consumers are appreciated what those guys are doing. But you who are wanting to tell us that you are a business person, you are making noise. Making noise to do what? For the nation to suffer or what? These people, they come to sorting out the problem. That is the competition. And that is what I hear previous caller also was talking about, saying, How can you bring Ali Seymour, wanting me to fight Ali Seymour?
Yeah.
You are not a boxer. Don't become on the ring. Don't talk about fighting if you are not a boxer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the government cannot send you to box with Ali Seymour.
Mm.
So the business people, those who are FDI, the one that is now coming with FDI, they are coming because they are business people. They are fighters. They are business people.
Yeah,
you look at, if you wanted to see the difference even now for the competition of Nakatra Dam.
Yeah.
Look at that. Nakatra Dam have about 19.4 hectares.
Yeah.
5,000 of them is a good land for cropping farming.
Yeah.
And 14 is for other activity. But if you look at the application of those ones, a lot of them for the 5,000 land, they come from Kenya and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to producing their own product. Those, because what is people they don't understand is I'm talking about the financial skewer here is that when you're getting the money, if you go to the bank, you want the money.
Mm-hmm.
They have to ask you, where are you going to get money to pay us back?
Mm-hmm.
And those who are now, when they are getting money from Kenya, they proven that I'm going to making orange in Namibia to come and sell to the Kenyan who are asking me. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's already have the numbers of Kenyan that they want in the orange. But they cannot get it in Kenya. Now there is a Kenyan who got in the land in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same if you look at the, what is this one in Kavango? The blue belly.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling it in Europe. Ask them who gives them the money. It's a European.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Namibian financial. So that is how it happened. So people think Nakatra Dam is dead. Nakatra Dam is not dead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tate Andrew, thank you. And I expect your call.
Okay. I know it's fine. Thank you.
Right, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that is what is happening, especially looking at the financial aspect to say the money is here, but the money is not declared. To say the black market at one point killed the US economy. We have a lot of mafias from Sicily, mafias from Italy, and they were in charge of controlling the black market. But it's very difficult to prove where you get the money. It's very difficult also to come out the Gini entry. And also how to bring your money into the system. That's why you have a lot of challenges out there. You can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Let's go to a short commercial break and come back shortly.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite okoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendise nawa nukumona oijamweli nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora isatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
no matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
other. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kondado inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijago ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore satimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Hello? Good morning.
David?
Yeah?
Are you saying that if I keep my money under my mattress, it's unlawful?
It depends on how much you are keeping under your mattress.
Okay, irrespective of the amount.
Not irrespective of the amount. There is a certain threshold that you should keep as cash, and after that you get arrested. Because it's also becoming dangerous to yourself.
Which threshold is that one? Maybe I might need to be reminded on that.
Oh, how much money do you have now in your mattress?
Does it make difference to Parapara or any other case?
No. I cannot tell you the exact amount, but I think is it a million or it's half a million? I don't know, but there is a certain amount.
Who actually crafted up that law? That yes, because of the barter system of economy. So you therefore need to keep this money under your mattress or wherever, and this cannot be kept, this amount of money cannot be kept into the financial bank. It's therefore unlawful. I just want to get that understanding so that we know now, from now, how much do I need to keep it under my mattress, how much is it that is allowed lawfully. I don't know which law is that one. If not, then I should be charged with criminal liability.
No,
it's
a good question because it's not even just in Namibia, but it's everywhere. I think it's you must declare a cash of, is it 100,000 or equivalent? That is in foreign currency. Yeah.
The common law. I don't know what law is that.
No, it's an international standard. It's not only in Namibia. Even in everywhere you go, there is a certain amount of money that you cannot keep.
That's the international standard imposed to us who have been keeping money into our mattresses.
You know that. Do you know that the money that you are keeping is not yours? Even if you burn your own money, you'll be arrested. Do you know that?
I understand. But yeah. Who dictates that?
It's Bank of Namibia. It's a central bank.
Which law are they using?
They are using financial laws. I don't know exact what law, but the expert will come soon. Maybe if you ask.
Yes, because I do not understand why some people have to come and say, no, If I keep this money under my mattress, it's not allowed. It's not lawful.
Do you think it's right? Do you think it's right to keep any amount that you have in under your mattress, even 2 million?
If there's no law prohibiting me to do that, if there's a law that's prohibiting me to that, who crafted that law?
Maybe the state is protecting you from your own money too, because that can also be a threat to your life. Do you know that?
It doesn't matter.
No.
You cannot protect me from me keeping my money in the financial bank.
No, a state can also protect you from yourself. Do you know that?
I understand.
Yeah.
But how many people have kept, I have heard of ministers, prominent people who have kept their money into the financial bank, but the money is still being stolen. And but I have never heard of any people, of any case, where people have kept their money into their own sofas or wherever, but they have been harassed or robbed, except the parapara.
No, not hearing it doesn't mean that it's not existing.
But we have to use the case law.
No. I'm saying it's only you who did not hear it, but doesn't mean that it's not existing. You said you are a law student, right?
But the one that is not known, we cannot argue about it. But
you said you are a law student also, right?
Yes.
Yeah, then you can be able to get case laws on that. There's a lot of cases in Namibia regarding that.
But I have not heard it about it.
You will get it when you research about it.
I want to know now so that I can present it here, because I cannot present something that is not known or has not been existed.
All right. Let's look at our guest and come back. Right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Unongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
no matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Unongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka.
okukwetera oipindi konu konda doinawa. Nune udo, otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejefa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa, nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mderewa, nora hetatu natu, mbali o hetatu hatatu, omafelane Eagle FM. The Eye.
Yeah, we are moving on with unpacking the day. As I indicated, our guest is here live with us in the studio. You can also be able to engage us. You can see us on our social media platform, that is Facebook and other media platform. But the conversation is expanding. We are joined by Miss Cecilia. Miss Cecilia Anekwaya Okafo. Especially to look at the aspect of financial inclusion and also to look at some of the development in the financial sector. And, you know, it's quite rare to have an expert with you one-on-one, especially when it's come to the financial sector. Mr. Cecilia, good morning and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, David, and thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah. No, we are also very happy to have you, especially at this platform. Let us, first, I think I should congratulate you. You have been at the center of the financial sector transformation strategy. I know it's not only you, but you have been really at the center of that. And one of that aspect is financial inclusion by 2035. And realizing that we are at 86%, we are quite doing very well.
Yeah.
How did it go? Especially convincing financial institutions and also other players in that industry. How did we get into 86 and what were other things that were involved before we go to the issue of gender?
Right.
Yeah.
So for us, let me just start by saying having achieved an 86% is a significant win for Namibia, especially given where we are coming from. We are coming from a 78% from the last survey that we did in 2017.
Yeah.
And it not only just confirms the deliberate policy efforts that we have put in from the first financial sector strategy of 2011 to 2021 that pursued financial inclusion as a key pillar.
Mm.
And there are quite significant achievements from that strategy to the new strategy that we are pursuing now that we've developed, the one that you just mentioned with very ambitious targets.
Yeah.
For financial inclusion at, by 2035.
Yeah.
So for us, it's giving us confidence that there is something that we are doing right.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that in a lot of African countries, financial inclusion is largely driven by a large ecosystem of mobile money, and we are not even there yet. We are starting the mobile money conversations, and we are still moving there. So you can just imagine what would happen, where our rate would be if we had a large active mobile money market.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, that means that there's something that Namibia is doing right from a policy point of view, but also our stakeholders, the financial institutions, have been quite deliberate, especially given after the GPF that we held last year and with the awareness that we have been raising on the importance of financial inclusion.
Mm.
We've been seeing interesting products coming into the market, especially from the banking side. We've been seeing quite good momentum.
Yeah.
So you can just imagine what would happen once we have an active fintech market.
No, I see. And you also have a new role within within Alliance of, you know, financial inclusion, and I think congratulations again for that. Now, before I go to the aspect of gender, especially when women outperforming men, and we have been beaten in a lot of sectors these days. Now, let's look at financial inclusion and also the change to the human lives. Yesterday, there was a bit of a discussion to say, yes, Namibia is moving very well.
Yeah.
Namibians have access to funds and all, I mean, to financial institutions.
Yeah.
But funds, they are not our friends. It seems like inequality is still persisting in Namibia.
Yeah.
It seems like more than 54% of Namibians, they, you know, earn 2000
less
and below.
Yeah.
And why is it like that? Why What is what how do we build that connection between financial inclusion and also upliftment of human lives?
That's a very, very important question, and it's one of the most attractive conversations when you bring financial inclusion on the table, right?
Yeah.
But I like to look at it this way. Financial inclusion is an enabler,
mm-hmm.
right? It's what gets you into the door.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do once you are in the room, that's now where the economics come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about financial inclusion and when we talk about what you can actually do once you have access, you want to imagine it in the sense that can a farmer in Omaheke region, you know, access affordable credit to advance their business? Can an SME, you know, access working capital right now, even though they have an account?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we need to be very careful about, cautious around the discussion. So as to not substitute mm-hmm. financial inclusion for economic opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have an account, but what you do with the account, if you do not have a sustainable job or income, mm-hmm. you know, if you do not have a business opportunity, you will not be able to take advantage of the opportunities, the funding opportunities that, you know, the debates are now coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you look at it from a availability of funding, right, there are a number of structural barriers still that limit people from or individuals from accessing the funds.
Mm-hmm.
So financial inclusion plays in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You try to create awareness for policymakers, I mean for financial institutions to be able to develop unique products. They are supposed to now use this data that came out yesterday from the financial inclusion survey and really understand where are the gaps, where are the challenges, and sort of deliberately tailor financial products that meet the needs of Namibians. So if we are looking at the data and we are saying a large number of individuals earn 2,000 and less, can an individual access a financial products with that? You understand? So now they need to use that information to look at how we can tailor. But even as policymakers, we now need to be deliberate to say we have things such as the National Youth Fund, for example. How do we deliberately design such initiatives so that they can help address the economic problems? We now need to create economic opportunities through education, through making initiatives available, and also now raising awareness so that we really inculcate that entrepreneurial culture within our the Namibian populace, so that they're able to take advantage and make meaningful use of the access that is being made available.
No, it's quite a very good thing, because you know, data they are showing, and the fact that you said financial inclusion allow us to get into the room.
Yeah.
Now that we are into the room, but we are not in the room equally accepted.
Yeah.
You realize that I see a lot of data from Bank of Namibia and and also NSA. When we are getting into the room, let's say we are at 2035, we are at 98% of financial inclusion. What you would want to see as a senior economist, and you have done a lot of research, bigger institution as a BON, everybody is looking not only to you, but also your team to say we are in 2035, for example, we are at 98% financial inclusion. What other sectors, and I want you to point them out, you think you really want to see that they can assist us not only to be in the room, but to be in the room happy with, you know, access to finance and also aspect of, you know, reducing this gap of economic inequality.
Look, this conversation is quite topical.
Yeah.
It's a hot one.
Yeah.
And, look, I will not dive into the sectors per se.
Yeah.
But look at, what's happening currently. I think everybody's trying to be deliberate. And our efforts are anchored within the financial sector transformation strategy.
Yeah.
And in there, we've moved beyond, conventional targeting just your normal SMEs.
Yeah.
For example, we did a diagnostic last year on the informality. The informal sector, and we found that 54% of Namibians are currently employed in the informal sector. So we deliberately bring these statistics out so that policymakers, financial institutions can really look at how to come and help the financial sector solve the problem. So how do we come together?
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at issues of inclusive green finance, for example. How do we use finance to become more adaptable and resilient to climate shock and economic, I mean, climate changes and so forth. So there's a number of things that are coming in at play. We have digital transformation. You have instant payment coming in with the YME product that's coming in.
Mm.
All of this, are an ecosystem that we are trying to build that involves fintech, that involves, green finance, sustainable finance.
Mm.
We are looking at working together with development, institutions, development partners, your UN institutions, your GIZ, they're all coming to the party to really look at how we can not just do more research, but also maybe pilot funding pilots, testing, and you know what you do in your innovation, in your innovation hub.
Mm.
And one thing that the two regulators have done that I'm really proud of is that they have introduced, regulatory sandboxes. So if you go to NAMFISA, if you go to the Bank of Namibia, they are cultivating a culture of innovation where we are testing now to see products that can potentially come in and also help us solve, these problems. But I am very, very careful when I talk about economic opportunities and economic problems because I know that there is no one solution to solving the problem. It has to be an ecosystem approach. And we really have to look at the structural barriers that exist within our economy when it comes to the challenges of access to finance.
Indeed. There were callers that want to engage with you just before we go to the aspect of the gender part. Maybe just to indicate, to say, you can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. We are in the studio with Ms. Cecilia Nekwaya Okafu. She's a senior economist and is also a focal point for, you know, Alliance for Financial Inclusion, and also to look at the recent report, and also we want to get into. And you mentioned a very good thing that we are in the room, and it's quite good. But let's look at the gender. It seems like I don't say you were only advocating for your for your counterparts. Why women are quite you know, banked, or they have access to financial services compared to men? Is it a gender issue, or is it the issue just of numbers? What is the reason behind that?
Sure, that's an interesting question. It's a question that I interrogate quite a lot.
Yeah.
And like you rightly introduced, I currently serve as the gender focal point for the Alliance for Financial Inclusion as a financial inclusion data working group. So we're looking at data and impact in that working group. So one of the things that we're always looking at, we're deliberately driving this issue of gender financial inclusion, and more so because when you look at the gaps in gender, I mean, in financial inclusion, we are looking at how the differences between how men and women access and use financial services, right?
Yeah.
And historically, this gap has disadvantaged women. I mean, globally, women, I think 745 million women globally are financially excluded. So the gender gap has been narrowing, and it is because of deliberate policy interventions, especially if you look at the role of the Alliance of Financial Inclusion plays in coming up with frameworks and so forth. Now, for Namibia specifically, fortunately, I think we have always been, the gap has always been in favor of women.
Yeah.
From the previous survey, financial inclusion survey, women were still more included than men.
Yeah.
And it's something worth celebrating because Namibia, as small as we are, we have been able to achieve something that the global world, to tackle a problem that the global community is struggling to solve, right? So it's something worth celebrating.
Yeah.
And I would want to pause and celebrate the wins.
Yeah.
But I also am interested in looking at, yes, it's in favor of women in terms of banked and in terms of financial services. And we are looking at indicators, right? But it doesn't necessarily tell us that women have more economic opportunities.
Yeah.
They have more businesses. They have more assets.
Mm.
These are things that we still need to interrogate in terms of gender access and gender gaps. But as we celebrate these opportunities and we interrogate what this really, really translates to, what it means for Namibian women, that we there's now this new conversations and questions around, oh, we the boy child.
Yeah, one day I wanted to go.
We need to empower the boy child. Yeah, yes, yeah. We need to empower the boy child. Mm. But we are not going to pause and say, okay, now that we have achieved greater financial inclusion of women, let's shift the focus or the attention to men.
Yeah.
We need to understand. Who are the men that are excluded? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
How are they excluded? In what are those indicators in terms of exclusion? Because if you're looking at banking rate, maybe they do not have interest in, and it's, I don't want to open a debate, but it's important for us to really look at the data and understand what does this data mean?
Mm-hmm.
What are the other opportunities that are probably available for men that women don't have, that men are taking advantage of? What is the data telling us? So we are celebrating the opportunity to have closed or narrowed the gender gap, and we are inviting and moving the conversation to understanding why men are lagging behind so that we can craft the right policies. But I want to credit Namibia because Namibia has not only been deliberate in ensuring or coming up with interventions to ensure women are financially included. We have been deliberate in ensuring that women are economic participants, active participants. I mean, if you look at the representation of women in boards currently, in parliament, everywhere, we're seeing a lot of participation coming from women, and Namibia has been deliberate in its policies that favor women participation. So it could largely be attributed to the policies that we have implemented over the years, or it could largely be attributed to the fact that women are more than men in Namibia. I mean, that's what that was the outcome of the previous census.
No, understand.
No, so
it's a good thing that you brought that conversation, particularly when it comes to economic affairs. It's the same thing also when you look at the corporate affairs, but there's also something that is interesting that the president has raised to say, apart from being women, we also look at capacity to say they are also capable women. You see somebody who was running an institution, then you put a lady there, the things are thriving.
Yeah.
But also to look at the aspect that we are not competing, we are not in competition, but we want to get, we want to get into particular when it comes to national development. Now, before we look at other sector, is your role as a focal point for gender? What other programs are you looking into, and what are you busy working with, particularly looking at the financial sector?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we are trying to do now is, obviously we came up with a framework, from the supply side.
Yeah.
So you know that we've implemented a financial sector strategy. We measure and we monitor the implementation of that strategy.
Your caller is here.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes. I have a question for Ms. Cecilia.
Are you able to hear?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Hello?
You can even just hold me for now. Okay. Just hold on, Just hold on. Just hold on. Just go.
Hello?
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 Yes.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question about financial inclusion.
Okay.
Yes, so my question is, in the year of 2026, why is financial inclusion something we still, for lack of a better term, celebrate? I mean, is it not a common thing now for people to have access to financial services? I mean, we have people like you. Like you mentioned, in places like East Africa, they're accessing services without having smartphones. So should the conversation not be about how much is in the bank account instead of do you have a bank account or not?
No, that's a very, very interesting question, actually, and it's an interesting way to look at it. So financial inclusion is not just about having access to a bank account, right? By definition, financial inclusion means being able to access, use your financial service in a manner that is affordable and convenient. So for Namibia, because of the nature and the setup of our market, we are still celebrating, yes, access to an account, be it a bank account or mobile money account or wallet, or because it's still new to where we are. And in terms of the nature of the products that we have, they are largely focused banking concentrated financial products, right? So we are still moving to, and that's the question that David has been trying to get me to answer around impact, because we are now moving to getting into the door. And then once you are in the door, you're now able to have a wide range of financial services. So are you able to save on your account? And then the conversation comes to, do you have enough money to save in your bank account or in your mobile money account or your wallet? So the question around the economics of financial inclusion. So yes, we are celebrating access. We are celebrating the improvements that we have made in being able to, or our financial sector being able to provide convenient and affordable financial services, looking at the uptake of the products. And then we're now going to now look deeper into the statistics to say, okay, I think most of the numbers that came out yesterday refer to usage, 83% or 84% of individuals transact or make use of transactions largely when it comes to financial services, and very few of them, I think second to that, I think 74% save. So we are not very far from looking at the amount of money that you have in your bank account or in your wallet account and what you're able to do with that account. We're not very far from that. I think the data is there. It's really just showing us how much of individuals are able to walk into a room. And the distinction that I brought in around us being able to achieve this with a very not well-developed mobile money ecosystem is that a lot of countries, as you mentioned, especially in the East and the West, have large mobile money ecosystems, very well developed, and you're able to save on your mobile money wallet. You're able to apply for a loan via your mobile money, and we are not even there yet, right? So we are able to have a good financial inclusion rate, probably even higher than a lot of these countries that are still having an active mobile money economy. We've been able to achieve a good financial inclusion rate with our current limited financial services. So that speaks to progress, but it also means that there is opportunities if the ecosystem develops, if we implement the frameworks that we are currently implementing with your instant payments, with your fintech, if we develop the mobile money ecosystem and we are able to advance to making meaningful usage of financial services, how much more will our financial inclusion rate improve?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's go to a short commercial break and come back shortly. I'm in the studio with Miss Cecilia Nekwaya. She took her own time and also to come to talk to us. But just before we go to a short commercial break, I want also to speak to my fellow men to say, what may it explain the lower level of banking of financial inclusion among men? What should policymakers do and financial institutions do to ensure that efforts to empower women, you know, do not leave one group behind? Because, you know, Namibia, and you mentioned something very interesting to say, we are ahead of a lot of countries and in a lot of policies, and one of them is affirmative action. But although we are not, in terms of financial inclusion, now we are not seeing the immediate product, to me it's indicating that once you have all these things standing, we will overtake a lot of countries when we sort out our other problems. But I want you to be with that question, especially when it comes to fellow men. I don't want us to come and again say, boy child is also left out when it comes to other things. Yeah. Because we are already speaking about mental health and other things, but also not for us to become victims. I'm not into this thing to say, no, the other one is left. But what can be done? Policymakers and also fellow men to say, guys, we speak about financial inclusion and Namibia is moving. Let's just go to a short commercial break and come back shortly.
Excellent.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere uliko ni maondututo ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukulile
Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something.
Yeah, we are with Ms. Cecilia Nekoya Okafo. Ms. Cecilia, the gender part, what are the people of my gender need to know? What policymakers need to do? How should we make sure that our development does not really impact the other gender? And I also understand that if you are a gender focal point, you are not only for women, you are for all of
it's
us.
For all genders.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can we deal with that?
Look, that's an interesting question, and I was hoping that you'd actually even open up the lines so that we can understand. Because from a policymaker's point of view, and even from where I sit within the gender inclusive finance space, we are trying to understand what the data is telling us.
Yeah.
So first of all, I would want to understand, I would like to delve deeper into the statistics from NSA and understand who are the men that are excluded, right?
Mm, mm, mm.
In what, is it your informal workers?
Yeah.
Is it your salaried workers? Mm. You understand? And is it an exclusion? Because now we are talking about being banked at banking rate.
Yeah.
Is it an exclusion of, they are not included within the banking space? Maybe they don't have a bank account, a formal bank account, but they have another informal non-bank account, or they have other ways. Because what you are measuring is access to your bank, but then there's also the formal access, the informal access, where you would have seen an interesting figure that came out also from the survey that said, I think about 43% of salaried employees or earners still receive their money in cash. You understand? So if you are looking at an excess bank rate, the one who receives their money in cash could be the men.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not know that as I sit here. So we really need to delve deeper into the data and understand.
Mm.
Once we understand, I think we will be deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a lack of awareness issue, that we can easily solve for through the FLI or other education and awareness campaigns.
Mm.
But if it's a lack of interest issue, then we need to have a conversation with the financial service providers and say, okay, are your products not attracting a certain, gender? Are we not being deliberate? Maybe we need to be more deliberate. Like, for example, in other countries, you find within the insurance space, they will probably come up with an insurance product tailored to the unique needs of women.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So would we need to take the same route, come up with a product that is tailored to the unique needs of men?
Yeah.
Is that where we are moving to?
Mm.
So, but we really all need to be deliberate and look at the data and see what the data is telling us.
Indeed. Yeah. Now let us look at financial capability, and just before the last question, and also before I let you go due to time. You are a principal economist working in the financial sector development. Do you think increased financial inclusion must now be meshed with by greater financial capability and responsibility? And also maybe to look at that, to say, as more Namibians now gain access to credit, digital payment, what need to change to ensure that we use these services safely and responsibly? Maybe just to end to that also, maybe you can also link in the aspect of the content of financial literacy. I think I asked you that question, I think the previous time, to say, what do we need to do new?
Yeah.
Because we have been embarking on that, and it's also part of your strategy. To say financial literacy is also needed.
Yeah.
And maybe we can just link that into this question.
So to answer your first question, I think it's very, very important that, and when we look at financial inclusion, we are looking at access, we are looking at literacy, and then we are looking at protection.
Indeed.
So it's all encompassed, right? So we are looking at, we need to be very deliberate as we move towards bringing more people into the door. What bringing more people into the door means, you're going to various areas, demographics, geographical space. I mean, people with lower literacy, and you are bringing them into the formal financial system. And now you also need to then expose them to education. You need to make them aware of the products as you are bringing them into the door. Then you need to make them aware of how to use these products responsibly, and then also educate them about their rights, but at the same time have mechanisms in place to protect them where they can air their grievances and so forth. So as Namibia, I love the way that we have been implementing our financial inclusion policies. We have not divorced literacy and consumer protection from access. We have been working this three as trinity. We have been looking at it almost like a trinity approach. And like you said, we've come up with, we have a financial literacy initiative under the Ministry of Finance that's actively educating consumers about their rights and engaging them around financial products. But then you would also see that the regulators have also become very vocal. If you see the work that NAMFISA is doing with their public education campaigns, going out there educating consumers about not just the policies that are coming out in terms of the bills, what it means, or how it translates, but also just knowing their rights and how they can actively participate and how they can air their grievances and so forth. So those activities, plus what the Bank of Namibia is doing, is very, very important. But now the challenge that's coming in, and if you look at the data as well, you'd see that I think 91% of urban population is included, compared to I think 70 something, or is that 70 something of the rural, which means the gap between urban and rural is still persisting, right? And that, with what we are pursuing now with digital financial services, brings in a new challenge. It means that we now need to be more deliberate and probably even much more aggressive in terms of how we, and urgent in how we educate our consumers. And then looking at content. I was in Zimbabwe last year, and the content, the nature of content that they employ in financial education is quite rich. It's not just, it goes beyond, it's drama. It's it. They are including your arts, your community. You understand. So it's quite engaging. It's tailored to different audiences, and that's where we are moving to as well. We need to look at not just, you know, looking at your traditional textbooks, content in paper nature, a public awareness where you are sitting there with a microphone and you are talking to the audience. But we need to probably start engaging much deeper. And also what I like from this particular survey is that it was conducted in a manner that also looked at financial capability. I've not delved into that section of the data yet to understand the financial capability rate of Namibians and how they are with their literacy, financial literacy. I think that is something that we also need to draw attention to.
Indeed.
So that we can understand how much Namibians are lagging behind, or where are we. The previous financial literacy rate of 2017 stood at 54%. Where is it now? And where are the gaps, especially even in gender? That's what I would advocate for. Between men and women in terms of financial literacy as well. And urban and rural, and those issues.
No, indeed. Thank you, Mr. Siria. Just last three. to look at. I want to congratulate not only you but your institution too, and also other partners in the financial sector. One of the things that we appreciate these days, especially from the media, is data. We see the numbers are coming out, but we still need more data simplified to the people. Now, if there is one thing that you don't want to leave out, because we are moving somewhere, we are going to 2030. There's a lot of ambitions out there. There are challenges that are within and are not within our control. If there's something that you really don't want to leave out, particularly from where you are standing as an economist, just one advice to Namibians, either as young people, either as those who are in business, especially to reach, I don't want to say 100% of our goals, maybe understandable targets of where you want to get into. What is that message that you have?
Thank you very much for that question. So as I said, I'm currently on maternity leave and I've been consuming a lot of content, development content, psychology.
Yeah.
And one thing that I learned during this period is the term agency.
Yeah.
And it's having the attitude of not just growth mindset, but being able to be part of the decisions that about your life, right? And when I say this, I mean, From the policy side, I know policy has received a lot of backlash, but we have done a lot for not just in terms of financial, when we look at financial inclusion, especially for SMEs, we've come up with strategies, initiatives. We have an SME financing strategy that provides collateral. We have a mentoring and coaching facility. We have a venture capital fund. There's a financial literacy initiative. You have, you know, the National Youth Development Fund for example. There's quite a lot. Even financial institutions over the years have been encouraged to come up with SME units in there. And all financial institutions currently have SME units.
Yeah.
And we're looking at requirements, we're looking at collateral. So from a policy and industry point of view, I think we've done not everything that we needed to do, but we have done a lot.
Yeah.
From the entrepreneur side as well, I would then come back to that agency, having an agency in life, and we need to be able to create opportunities to be able to tap into the opportunities that are available. They say you can take a horse to the river or to the pond, but you cannot force it to drink, right? A lot of us, I think, from where I sit, from when the way I look at entrepreneurship, the way I look at SME, we have very good ideas. There are very good SMEs. I need to credit that.
Yeah.
But there are also those who were just developed from a, you know, I need to make something. I saw somebody doing something and the numbers are to fly by night. You know, we are not, implementing the right systems, intentionality in our business. And I'm a business owner as well. I can attest to the lessons that I've learned from being an SME and being a policymaker. I'm able to really see those gaps closely to say that sometimes we are not ready. We don't have the systems in place, right? But then sometimes maybe the financial institutions also don't have the right products. We need to be able to talk to each other and with what you said about where we are sitting with the data, we are trying to bring out as much data as possible. We are trying to bring out data on, shed light on who's in the informal sector. What is the nature of informal businesses? We know that a large percent of them are women. And, they are struggling to get access to credit. Their biggest need is access to credit in order to grow their business. But we know that they don't have their financials in order. Their books are not in order. You know, the literacy element. And then if you look at business developers, I think that is where we are missing it.
Indeed.
We're lacking, a market of business developers that can really work, mentors and coaches that have experience that can practically work to strengthen businesses. I think that's the gap. But from the agency part, I think if we can have an agency, be inspired and want to take advantage of the opportunities meaningfully, not so that I can drive the latest car tomorrow or live in the biggest house and show off to my friends, but really trying to solve that problem.
Indeed.
And it will show up in the amount of money that you're able to save as a business. So that data sits with banks, right? The amount of money that's flowing into your account. Do you have an account, for example, as a business owner? Those types of things. So I think a lot still needs to change, but it starts with us. There's
Indeed.
That agency that we need to probably adopt. And then there's the gap in the market from not having sufficient qualified, experienced business developers that can really work with the market to train them and get them to that point. And then, of course, the financial institutions and policymakers still need to study and the market and really tailor the products to the needs of the market. We need to move in sync. Uh-huh. Currently, everyone is doing their own thing.
No, so, indeed, you are speaking like one of, I was speaking to one of the economists, I think economists, you are well positioned today. and he was also indicating to say, just to look at agency to say, us, we also have to blame. Mm. We have the system, where there are good things that are out there, but we are not moving. But due to time, and it's not our last engagement, but I'll give you time, as what you have mentioned, but we'll still continue engaging. I just want to thank you for taking this time. I know you are on leave, but this was really necessary, especially to look at that sector. And continue doing what you are doing. And thank you very much.
Thank you, David. This was an important conversation, a very exciting one.
All right, bye-bye. Yes, dear listener, that will bring us to the end of Unpacking the Day. From me, David Shombe. Bye-bye for now. See you around, and sharp, sharp.